I left the jungle, ran towards the comfort I was craving after ODing on brew and mould, towards the promise of a plump pillow, a hot bath and seasoned food. My hotel in Lima provided all of that in quick succession. Clothes hanging drying in an ambient temperature-controlled room, fluffy towels, hotel moisturiser, and crisp linen pillows arranged to prop me up for the devouring of my first meal out of the jungle. Corn from the Andes, flaky empanadas, fish luxuriating in a creamy coconut broth. It felt amazing. For about 15 minutes. Then came the flatness. The muted atmosphere. So disturbingly quiet. I looked out of my window, past the droning AC plant, and down to the manicured lawn outside, and the trimmed trees, sparse birdsong, the contained sounds of traffic, muffled. It was all compressed, like an MP3-ization of what I'd been in, and my body ached for that engulfing jungle cacophony. This is weird. And even weirder is that this is what we know as normal. We're most of the time going through the world completely deaf to this mutedness. Days later at a manic Houston airport, and I've joined the frenetic conveyor belt of check-in, security, the chemical assault of duty-free. The clamour, the cortisol, the impatient crowds, they're starting to creep into my pores. I can feel a tug of war starting to take place as the low to the ground rhythm of the last few months starts being piled in on, and my senses consider tuning out of the fray in an act of self-preservation.
Everything around me is saying that this is wrong.
Sitting at the gate, I gaze around me at the other passengers. I could connect with any one of them with a bit of effort, but most of them are head down in a device, lining the wall with the plug sockets, charging up, getting as much Wi-Fi connection as possible before takeoff. I close my eyes, cover my face, and slowly inhale the moldy jungle smell of my pink silk scarf. As the race to board the flight begins, a brusque, resolute queue forms. And I'm smiling, remembering the slow camaraderie and rabble of the burrito queue.
I love it. What's that? Your voice.
You are seated at an emergency exit. Please review the responsibilities.
As a tide of travellers sweeps through the plane, claiming our seats, contorting ourselves into position, desperate not to touch one another, and with boundaries well established, I also know I'll find myself, for the first time in months, second-guessing my urge to strike up conversation with these strangers inches from me, but who will remain, for the next 9 hours, resolutely untouched. I think back to the heft of Maria Luisa's body plonking itself on me on the night train through the desert.
We marry again for that third time.
The plane takes off, pushing us back against our seats. Higher and higher, further from the ground. I take another hit of my funky scarf. wanting those spores inside me to travel with me for just a bit longer, to ward off the looming pasteurization. In the cabin, lights down, my fellow passengers plugged into the in-flight entertainment. I sit with my eyes closed, holding on to it all.
What have I learned?
Hi. How you doing? What's your name?
Wade Beatrice.
Learn that things don't have to be as quick as we might believe they have to be.
But he used a word called autochthonous.
Or are supposed to be.
We're going very well now, sisters.
Yeah, we can control that. Like, we can slow things down. Like, I think we have a crazy amount of power.
This is not copyright, it's copyleft.
Love it.
Like, a terrifying amount of power, of how much we can slow down and create our own happiness, our own state of being.
Oh, bless it, baby.
Part of my work is finding a way to bring this state of awakeness back home and not let myself shut down and ultimately go numb into an autopilot of just waiting for the next time I can like feel safe enough to open up.
Back home, not being on autopilot, staying open. Challenge now is not how to avoid reality, but how to land back into it differently. Pulling these threads with me to stay tuning in. So that's it for now. I love that the conversations and connections with strangers all along my route and their energy gets to live here. Big appreciation to all of them for being open to it, as well as all the people I've met in returning home to turn these taped encounters into a show. And thank you to you for listening to season one of No Lines. It's been so good hearing how this sonic scrapbook has been felt by you. This is a small indie little show, but the response from so many of you has been big and beautiful. I'm now firmly back in the UK, feeling the pull to tune into this place stronger than ever. There's so many threads here, and I want to keep on following and sharing them with you. So stay subscribed wherever you like to listen to your podcasts, and explore the website low-lines.com, where you can sign up for the Low Lines newsletter and find bonus tape and scrapbook notes and pictures of the faces and places I encountered as I travelled through the Americas. Until the next season, stay low.